It is a time of year when they are quite actively feeding on strawberry leaves, the new shoots of raspberries, cherry trees, especially the new growth on the tops of the cherry trees. I've even noticed where they were chewing on my ninebark shrubs, which is a new one, at least in my yard, for them. Other years they've chewed on the true geraniums, like the wild blue geraniums and that sort of thing also. So, and seeing a whole bunch of them out at the glacier the other evening, and the lady ranger out there said, well, people transport their porcupines from their yards out to the glacier to the so they can live a happy life. They just dump them there, and then tourists get to take pictures of them.
But doesn't that kind of throw things a little bit out of balance there at the glacier with all the porcupines running around?
I don't know. Well, what's balance between the porcupines and the bears and the fish and the too many tourists? I mean, there's just enough tourists, I mean. But anyway, it's a balance. And who says what is the right number of porcupines per square foot or per acre or per recreation area?
My dog once tried to catch a porcupine. He didn't do too well. How do you usually go about catching a porcupine?
I know in the past I've been very more explicit than others sometimes in the tools used to deal with porcupines. But what folks can do, the more soft-hearted ones among them, will catch them in garbage cans. And I have threatened some of those when I've heard about them that if I catch someone dumping one in my neighborhood, I will follow them home with that porcupine and they won't enjoy it at their house. But yeah, literally putting a garbage can over the top of a porcupine and then using the lid to quickly and efficiently and hopefully relatively painlessly scoop it in, and then you put it in the back of your, well, I don't know, in the back of a Subaru maybe or other vehicle to move it someplace where nobody lives, nobody has gardens.
Not your house and not the glacier.
Right. I mean, way out the road, I suppose, end of the road, past several large rivers, and hope they don't come back.
What about the less humane methods?
If you take them down to the beach, and for the eagles and the ravens, they enjoy them, and that can be entertaining by itself, too. Or burying them underneath the cherry tree or apple tree or in the raspberry patch will make them grow a lot better. So that's certainly an option. And really being careful, I've got fencing, netting around my raspberry patch to keep them out, which is working. It's loosely hung seine webbing. And that's the key, is the loosely hung part. Even if you're using chicken wire, that you don't attach it at the top of the posts so they try to climb up and it kind of falls back over on them. So that works. And then the other critical thing is when you go in, open up your gate to pick your raspberries, that you remember to close the gate behind you, because it seems like the porcupines are ever vigilant and they go round and round that patch of tasty raspberries looking for an opening.
You sound like a frustrated man.
It has happened more than I care to admit.
And if you catch them in the act, I think you kind of alluded to it earlier, but just whack them over the head with a shovel.
Whatever handy garden implement is available, yes. And we have eaten them in the past, but flavor tends to be like what they eat, which is mostly spruce and hemlock. That's their prime thing, although they eat a lot of greenery in the summertime. I mean, they certainly prefer raspberries and strawberry leaves. They don't eat the berries. But when they eat the leaves off, then your berries really don't ripen very well. So we no longer eat the porcupines. Now, if somebody has a need or a want for them and wants to contact me, I'll give them a call and I can deliver if necessary.
What about debarbing and skinning them? Isn't that a bit of a challenge?
Yeah, you do it very carefully with gloves on and all that sort of thing. But there really is very little meat on even a 30 or 40-pound porcupine, some of the big ones, because yeah, you've got that big batch of quills on them, and once you skin them, they've got very heavy bones, and they have a very large digestive system, very long intestinal system, to digest the wood chips, the bark that they normally eat. So by the time you get rid of all that, there really isn't much meat on one. And they talk about that being survival food. Well, yeah, for survival food, that's fine. But they are a chore to deal with. to make them, to marinate them with enough garlic and herbs and spices to make them more tasty.
What about less drastic methods or ways to keep them out of your berry patch? Does an electric fence, does that work at all?
It needs to be very low to the ground. Yeah. It, basically 4 to 6 inches off the ground to keep them out. And then for an electric fence, you don't want it to ground out on grasses and weeds and stuff. So then you have to either come back with a weed whacker or something similar to keep it down. Or you could put down landscaping fabric right underneath the fence, you know, like have your posts punched through the fabric. Yeah. And to keep it clean, that would definitely work. And again, if you have, say, one at about 4 or 5 inches and then go up from there another about 12 and another about 30, that'll also keep out the bears. Deer, you need to go about 40 to 45 inches or so.
Oh, okay.
But again, yeah, it's very effective, pretty cheap, easy to install, safe, and entertaining, depending who comes by to investigate the fences. Dogs are large 2- or 4-legged animals of various sorts.
Okay. Ed Barsky, thanks a lot for the fun.
You're welcome, Matt.